So it's after 4 o'clock. We're going to start the meeting. Let's do roll call.
Chair Collins.
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Harmon is not here. Legislator McCullough. Legislator Stewart.
Here.
Legislator Walls.
Here.
Chair Criswell.
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. I want to remind everyone to use microphones when we speak today. A couple of other reminders on the meeting structure. Priority is given to committee members for discussion and questions. Resolution sponsors are also given priority, and chair's discretion is to open to non-members of the committee. Do you have a motion to approve the May 8th, 2025 meeting minutes?
Motion.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'd also like to point out that we do have a different committee member today. I'm going to read a letter from Chair Criswell. Says, Dear Clerk Favella, please be advised I appointed Legislator Richard Walls to the Housing and Transportation Committee, filling the vacancies created by the resignation of Legislator Eric Kitchen. Thank you, Legislator Walls, for joining us. Okay, we have ordered the meeting because evidently there's an issue that everyone wants to talk about, so we'll put that first. So is there an approval of the meeting minutes? I'm sorry, of the agenda. Is your motion to approve the agenda? Can we do that? Okay, I do that in other committees, sorry. Okay, so resolution number 275, amending resolution number 275 of 2014, as amended, establishing a policy for a rail with trail along the county-owned Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor. Is there a motion to discuss?
I move we open for discussion.
Motion to discuss, seconded by Deborah Clinton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Discussion. Legislator Stewart.
I have a brief statement to read, if that's okay. To begin, I wish to thank Chair Collins for his efforts on this committee. I feel he has done an excellent job in orchestrating the work of this committee despite being presented with a difficult task and with difficult circumstances. I also must say that I was disappointed to see public attacks made upon him in the local media. I feel it is inappropriate to single out a legislator for merely doing his job. I also must say that I am personally unhappy with the tenor of the debate surrounding this question in general, in light of the threats made against Kevin Smith of the Woodstock Land Conservancy, who also chairs the legislature's Trail Advisory Committee, on which I also sit. Violence or threats of violence have no place in local government, and these should be condemned and avoided at all costs. Excuse me. From the get-go of this process, I have advocated for a combination of rail with trail on the undesignated section of the UMD corridor. I think that such an outcome would be good for tourism and the Ulster County economy, providing jobs and an immersive experience for passengers as well as enhanced trail connectivity for bicyclists and pedestrians. The question comes down to one of feasibility, both in cost and physically being able to do so, given the topographic constraints of the undesignated section. These are complex and thorny issues that do not offer any easy solutions. Many locations within the corridor, specifically the rock cut and the 2,700 feet of high fill section that sits basically atop a pyramid of fill that in some areas is 60 feet high, with federally protected wetlands on either side. The rock cut varies in width, but the average, according to figures that I have seen, is about 18 feet. The top of the high fill, according to figures I have seen, averages around 13 feet. Both of these are far narrower than the 34 feet recommended by AASHTO, the American Association of Highway and Transportation Officials. I find myself having concerns with actions from all sides. I think it is unfortunate that Chair Collins was put into the position of having to chair both committees examining this issue before the legislature. In addition to housing and transportation, I feel this vote should also have come before economic development, since the Catskill Mountain Railroad is a tourist train and not a commuter line. This would have taken some of the burden off of Chair Collins. I am also disappointed that the executive branch has not weighed in on this issue in any obvious or meaningful way. Why has the legislature not received official public reports from either planning or economic development on this matter? I think these are grave oversights. On the other side of the coin, the Catskill Mountain Railroad has taken liberties in its dealings with the county. In 2016, it dropped a lawsuit against the county and agreed not to oppose the creation of the Ashokan Rail Trail and the Midtown Lanier Park in Kingston in exchange for a 5-year operating permit to run its current tourist train. In 2024, the county offered a cease and desist letter to the Catskill Mountain Railroad, citing operation of speeder cars, brush clearing, application of herbicides, crossing of right-of-ways, and installing fixtures on county-owned sections of track in the undesignated section without county permission. The Catskill Mountain Railroad also applied and received funding grants from state DOT without the county's knowledge or consent. I understand that two of those grants are currently on hold because of problems associated with them. There also appears to be zoning issues with both the proposed station at Basin Road and the proposed engine house in Kingston Plaza. Despite this contentious relationship the Catskill Mountain Railroad has had with the county, I believe it to be a great asset, and I hope that there are ways that we as a county can work with that organization. While I think that the compromise put forth by Chair Collins does hold promise, and I really like the idea that the county owns the land, giving us greater control over its usage and future development. That said, the parcel at Stony Hollow is quite small. It is only half an acre. I personally don't see how the Catskill Mountain Railroad could conceivably park its train in addition to having a station with bathroom facilities, vehicle parking, and a UCAT stop on a parcel of that size. Chair Collins informed me that there is a possibility that the county could do a land swap with some of the neighboring property owners in order to increase the size of the parcel to make it more usable for the Catskill Mountain Railroad. I think this is something that should be investigated. Lastly, I have been informed by Ernie Hunt that proponents of the Catskill Mountain Railroad would be willing to hire a well-respected local engineering firm with whom the county has done business in the past, as well as the two municipalities which I represent. They would work with them to conduct an unbiased study and make recommendations. I see no reason why we should not take them up on that offer. This has been cited by Catskill Mountain Road as something that has not been done this time as it was in 2016. Perhaps such a study could suggest a way to increase the width of the corridor in sections that are currently too narrow without impacting wetlands. For these reasons, I propose that we postpone voting on this resolution until we have been able to do the following things. I would like to hear reports from planning and economic development. I would like to look into this land swap idea to possibly increase the size of the Stony Hollow parcel. I think that we should hear from that engineering firm and take the Catskill Mountain Railroad's proponents up on that offer. I would also like to see a sound study done behind the Dreamland studio to see how noise from the train could possibly affect the operations of that facility. So for those reasons, I request that we postpone voting on this until we can look into these other options.
Should I take that as a motion to postpone?
Yes.
Is there a second? Legislator Corcoran.
So it's hard for me to disagree with anything Legislator Stewart did say, and postponement was on my mind. So with no need to repeat everything he said or most of what he said, I would second the postponement.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone. A second, so discussion on the motion to postpone. Chair Criswell.
Yeah, there's one voice that I feel like hasn't been heard in this conversation, and that's the people who actually live along this corridor in question. You know, we've heard a lot from the trail folks, we've heard a lot from the rail folks, but we really haven't heard from the people whose lives this would affect on a daily basis. And as of late, I've been getting phone call after phone call after phone call and emails from people who live in that area. And not one has said that they would actually like a railroad in their backyard. They have actually said they would like nothing or a trail. So I just want to acknowledge that that's a voice that we have not been acknowledging in this long conversation that we've had.
Legislator Walz.
I just concur with Legislator Stewart's comments earlier in favor of postponement.
Legislator Stewart.
I also wanted to echo the sentiments expressed by Chair Criswell. I too have received numerous phone calls from folks who live along the trail, which is why I think looking into conducting a sound study, a noise study, I'm not sure what the correct term would be, to see how a railroad could affect folks living in that area.
Legislator Maloney.
Thank you. I agree with a lot of what my colleague said as well, except for the one part about the Catskill Mountain Railroad contacting the county before getting that grant. You know, for the last 20 years, the Catskill Mountain Railroad could have had many a grant if the county would have just put their signature on some grant applications. They refused to. As soon as the county found out about this grant, they started writing letters. There's some deputy executives here today that have written letters trying to get that grant removed. That's unfortunately why the Catskill Mountain Railroad couldn't include the county. As far as the individuals that live along there, I think it's always good to talk to them. I wish we talked to the people up in Shandaken about the rails up there, because they'd much rather see the train than the noisy pedal bikes. But with regards to those residents living along this portion of the rail, I think it probably would have been smart to have more of the legislators that represent the district, you, Aaron, Eric Kitchen, all represent the district and were not put on that committee. So that was probably frustrating for some of you. The last thing I'll say about the people that own the property around there is one of the big property owners is very supportive of this project. And another one, I'm under the impression, is you, Chair Collins. Do you own 65 acres, literally 1,000 feet from this parcel that we're talking about?
I do, but it has no relevance in this issue.
Yeah, our lawyer told us today upon finding out that he thinks you probably should have abstained from everything, including conversation, but yet you led the charge and didn't disclose to anybody on that stub committee. If this postpones, and I hope it does, I hope we get Chris Rigucci's opinion to go along with Nick Pascali and see if you should even take any part in this, because I, for one, don't think somebody that owns 65 acres, 1,000 feet from this, should have been any part of this the way you were.
Just to be clear, it's more than 1,000 feet. It's a quarter mile. Secondly, that 65 acres is on a 99-year lease. I do not control that land.
With all due respect, you own 65 acres, and it is very close.
Sir, let me finish, please. That land is under lease to the Zena Democratic School for 99 years.
So you shouldn't be scared of a legal opinion?
I'm not at all scared of it.
So can we get that done? And until we get it, can you abstain? In fact, I think Legislator Corcoran should probably go up and chair this part of the meeting, if you want it to be ethical.
So I think there are several factual errors in the comments that have just been made. And I think that the question, to raise a question about is there a conflict, is a legitimate question. So let's get it answered. But the clear facts are that there is not a direct implication of anything, not especially not money, that would relate to this, which is the jingle of the coin standard for questions of conflict of interest. So I think that we ought to look at each of these things. I'm not sure how they relate to the question of postponement directly, but just assuming that we're going with the conversation, there's there are individuals in Shandaken that would prefer to have a Catskill Mountain Railroad attraction there rather than the rail bikes. They had every opportunity to be involved prior to the policy that put rail out there. They did not get to be involved in the procurement, which was by RFP. And a request for proposal is how the county does these kinds of things. And it was simply that the rail explorers won that RFP. They had the winning proposal. So then the ones who wanted something else get to say that they don't like it, and they get to raise their concerns, and the county has been addressing that all along the way. So that's what I understand about that situation. That relates to the proposal to have an engineering report on this section, which should not be funded by any of the stakeholders. You know, that's not how you get an independent assessment. What we have had is we have had the stakeholders that are the major stakeholders bring their own proposals. The CMRR has done that, and people from the trail community have done that. The body could consider having an engineer, trying to get a neutral engineer, a neutral engineering firm, but we've had great difficulty of that. I witnessed that in 2014, 2015. When we ended up with Stone Consulting that offered themselves as a neutral entity that had rail experience and trail experience. They served in that capacity, and then finishing that service, they have now been retained by one of the stakeholders in the discussion by the CMRR. So it's quite difficult to find an organization, I think, that would count, that all the involved stakeholders would consider independent. But I'm not opposed to our trying, but we should definitely do that with county money, if we are going to do it with county money, through an RFP process in which we specify what it is we're looking for from those consultants. And the difficulty, I think, with writing that RFP is that what we're looking for is the kind of judgment that the legislature brings. And the UND committee was established, as I understand it, through conversations with Chair Criswell and with many of the other legislators to reflect primarily the interest of those on the corridor, including the undesignated section, but also the interest of people who are not on the corridor, because this corridor serves the whole county. So the work of the committee, I think, was very good, and I think it's reflected in the resolution that's in front of us here. I do think the other things that Legislator Stewart recommended would be useful and could follow upon passing this resolution, or could support his call for a postponement.
The Stone report from 2015 was mentioned. I'm going to read a paragraph from that report. The fatal flaw discovered, if there is one, for the rail and trail concept in this area is the long 2,700-foot fill at Stony Brook, dating to the original 1868 alignment. It crosses designated high-quality wetlands that are essentially marshland to both sides, and had ducks taking flights during our inspection. Has no through drainage noted on the valuation maps. Some historic settling and repair at track level was evident, and it has steep side slopes exceeding 2-to-1. We do not think that the CMRR concept of a 4-foot trail on a retaining wall section of this section is feasible due to the stability, slope, and construction of the existing fill without significant erosion to the wetlands below. Therefore, this rather specific barrier either completely prevents rail with trail, even narrow recreational width, or forces the trail to parallel highway alignment via Routes 28A and Beesma Road for over 3,100 feet. Route 28A crosses the same marshland at a lower elevation and shoulders are nearly at the water level. I read that to say that we have done a study of this particular section. We have a report from an engineer, and that report seems to be, this can't be done.
Who, that was done for the county?
County paid for it.
What year was that?
2015. Any further discussion? Legislator Stewart.
In reference to what Legislator Nolan said, I did propose to Chair Collins and Chair Criswell that the county look into hiring a engineering and planning firm to take another look at this. I understand how people could be concerned if such a firm were hired by, you know, one of the opposing sides in this debate. So, I mean, if I think another study would not necessarily be a good thing to have, and you know, and if it's an issue of who's paying for it, you know, I think that might be worth the county's dime to take a look at that if that becomes an issue of debate. The firm that has been mentioned by the Catskill Mountain Railroad, like I said, is highly respected, does a lot of work for the county, and also does a lot of work for both Hurley and Marbletown. So I would have no problems accepting the findings of that study if this body sees fit to have the proponents of the rail, you know, pay for that.
Any other comments? Legislator Maloney.
Was there any updates from that engineer this year on that study that you just referenced, or that?
That same engineering company did send an email which indicated that they do not believe it to be unfeasible. That's the words they use. They did not say feasible, but not unfeasible.
It's interesting. You left that out a minute ago. So they kind of pulled back what they said 10 years ago, and you didn't mention that. It's just very interesting.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I think that the initial quote was from Stone Engineering working for Ulster County. The more recent letter was from Randy Stone working for Catskill Mountain Railroad. It's not an independent opinion at that point, and it's completely separate. So it is interesting, but it's interesting that the consultant, when hired as an independent rail and trail engineering firm, came to very specific conclusions, and then later working for the organization that is a rail organization, then changed that opinion to support the rail concept. And that's the reason that I don't think that it's a good idea to let a stakeholder pay for a study. When you're hired by a particular organization, the tendency is to provide a report that organization would value. Now, engineers are professionals and do have professional standards, and so there's some constraints on what they would do in working for anybody. And I'm not suggesting that there would be a biased report. I'm just, the way to keep financial considerations from coming into play is not to let them come into play, is to have an entity that is independent, neutral, do the hiring and do the paying. So I can support every other aspect of what Legislator Stewart is saying, other than letting any of the stakeholders hire somebody that then everybody is expected to treat as an independent authority. And I also can support the idea of a postponement if it's for these, you know, specific things. But we're 10 years out from the original work of the legislature on this section. And during that time, the trail groups have, for the most part, followed what the compromise called for, which is working on the sections that they were highlighted for trail purposes. That it is the CMRR's push to have something happen in this undesignated section that has caused this all to, you know, come forward. when we've now invested quite a bit of work, and so I'd like to see it come to fruition. But I can't say that I think there's any major harm in postponing it and doing several years more study, if that's what the legislator Stewart would like. Or any other legislator, I don't mean that.
So just to be clear, the motion is to postpone. So let's talk about the postponement, and we don't have to talk about other aspects of it. Let's talk about the postponement in general, and then once we're done, we'll take a vote. Legislator Stewart.
Like I said, the reasons why I think a postponement is in order is because I would like to hear from planning and economic development. I would like to investigate this idea of land swaps on parcels bordering the Stony Hollow parcel that we are offering as a compromise. I don't know how long that would take, but I think that definitely needs to be investigated. And I also, think that perhaps another engineering report might be in order, specifically because of what was just mentioned, how the prior report seemed to give two different answers depending on who was paying for it. And in reference to Legislator Nolan's comments, I can see how to avoid the appearance of undue bias in either direction, how I think that engineering report should be paid for by the county.
So are we calling for an indefinite postponement because we don't have plans for a study? We don't have, what is the criteria? The postponement is one thing. Do we have a designated length for that postponement? Do we have targets before we bring it back? I'd like to understand what that means. Or are we just back here next month doing another postponement? Chair Criswell.
Yeah, I'm going to make a suggestion. Since the corridor committee has now finished its work and presented its findings to this committee, I'm going to suggest that this committee now form a subcommittee to actually, if there's going to be a postponement, to then move these questions forward, find a balanced group of folks from this committee and lay out all the questions and move it forward in that direction.
Legislator Stewart.
I personally think that sounds like a good idea. I would also like to add that I think the sound or the noise study is also in order. So something else to add to the list.
May I get a copy of the findings that the subcommittee or the special committee released?
I assume you can ask one of the clerks for that.
There was a report released. I didn't see it.
It's the resolution, Legislator Maloney.
Just that resolution that Megan Sperry just read a couple of words. That's what that special committee produced. So when you talk about findings, it's just that resolution that was like a couple of sentences. So none of the things you referenced with that stones, the engineering, nothing went into a report.
The result of the committee was a resolution. Thank you. So do we have someone that wants to craft, because it sounds like there's conditions now to this postponement. Do we want to craft language around the postponement so that we know exactly what we're voting on? Other than, I'd like to have specific criteria by which the postponement will end, or what we're going to be doing during the postponement. Does that make sense? Or do we postpone and then we'll just do that outside of this body? I'm looking for advice here.
To be honest, Chair, I've rarely seen a postponement. I've seen thousands of them. I've rarely seen parameters given like you're asking for.
I think what I would, if I may, what I'd like to recommend is that if we're going to postpone, we postpone, and then you and I sit together, figure out a configuration for a subcommittee, and work with that subcommittee to come up with criteria. I don't think we can do it here on the fly. That doesn't seem appropriate.
Okay. So I'm going to call the question unless you have the other comments. All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we are postponed on 275. Moving on to the next resolution, 143, setting a public hearing on proposed law.
Chair, what was the vote?
That was 5 in favor of postponement and 2 against.
Resolution 143, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3 of 2025, a local law to ensure the safety of vulnerable road users in Ulster County, to be held on Tuesday, June 17, 2025 at 7:05 p.m.
Motion.
Is there a second? Motion and seconded. Chief Hick McCaul. Discussion.
I move we call the question.
I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 225, updating the Ulster County pedestrian and bicycle policy. Is there a motion? McCullough, second. I'm going to give it Stewart. Motion, second. McCullough. Discussion.
I believe this is my resolution. I would like to postpone this one as well. I am currently working with members of the county executive's office and also Brian Slack to make sure that we are all kind of on the same page and working and collaborating together to come to the desired result. My concerns on this have to do specifically with bridges and trying to make sure that where appropriate and what on appropriate projects that the county ensures that there are designated bike lanes and pedestrian lanes on bridges. And so this is kind of a work in progress, and I would like to postpone it for a month.
There's a motion to postpone. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Clinton. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 269, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget to accept allocation of rental assistance program funds from the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance, Department of Social Services. Do I have someone who want to speak on that?
Yes, we'll have our Director of Housing and Homelessness, Laura Nordstrom, address that resolution, Chair.
Thank you.
Go through the notes. That resolution is for $494,918 to be administered between April 1st, 2025 and March 31st, 2026. And it will be administered by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster, and is 100% state funding through OTDA.
Is there a motion? McCullough, second. Corcoran, discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 270, approving the execution of a contract for $494,918 entered into by the county with Catholic Charities of Orange and Sullivan County, Department of Social Services. I'm guessing this is related to the last motion.
That's correct, Chair.
Is there a motion? Clinton, second. McCullough, discussion? All in favor? Oh, I'm sorry, discussion first.
Just a quick question. Is this the resolution that Ms. Nordstrom is referring to?
I believe it's the allocation of the money to...
The resolution 269 was the acceptance of the funds. 270 is the actual contract.
Thank you. I just want a clarification.
Sorry for my...
No worries. Thank you very much.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 271, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $100,000 entered into by the county with Family of Woodstock, Department of Social Services.
Chair, we're requesting this amendment to that contract as a result of invoices that we have received over the course of January, February, March, and now April, which demonstrated that expenditures under this contract will exceed the original amount. This is related to Code Blue funding. It's 100% reimbursable, and that's the nature of the request.
This was for a 2024 contract?
This is for 2025.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion?
So moved.
McCullough, Stewart, second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 272, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $250,000 entered into by the County and Family of Woodstock, Department of Social Services.
We're requesting this amendment in connection with emergency after-hours services that are provided for emergency homelessness through Family of Woodstock. We've been closely tracking the expenditures under this contract, and the chair might recall that at the end of last year, we had to do a similar amendment, and we're trying to get ahead of that process this year based on the invoices that we see coming in and the average expenditures under the same contracts in 2023 and 2024, which averaged around $360,000. So we just want to be at a place in this contract where we're going to be able to process invoices in a timely manner that we receive over the balance of the course of the year.
I appreciate that. Question I do have is, are we just not giving a large enough contract at the beginning of this process, or how does that, what's happening?
So that's an excellent question. And these contract amounts are generally arrived at in July of any year when we're formulating a budget for the following year. So that process is informed by the data we have about what our monthly statistics are in connection with emergency homeless population numbers. And we estimate where we're going to be based on the trends that we see. So the lower contract amount was really arrived at in 23, being informed by what we saw in 22, and so on and so forth. So because we've consistently had a larger emergency homeless population, we've been incurring these expenditures. So in anticipation that more permanent housing may come online during the course of the year, we may not reach these thresholds. So we're just closely tracking it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that in our 26 budget, this contract will be for 400,000. Knowing what our numbers are as we close towards the end of the year will really inform that decision.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there a motion? Clinton, second. Corcoran, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 274, amending the Ulster County's classification of the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Rail Project under the New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, SEQR, and issuing a revised environmental assessment form, Department of Planning. Is there a motion? I'm going to guess someone should probably make a motion to postpone this as well. No, wait a second. I have Legislator Nolan, you seem to have something put in this.
Yeah, this is for the rail trail project up in Shandaken. And it's related to a finding that the project up there potentially affects resources that are eligible for listing on the national registers. So the State Historic Preservation Office has weighed in to that effect. And we have people here who, from the agents from the administration who could probably say this, but so this is a request to change the SEQR from an unlisted action to a type one action, which is just the correct listing when you're going to do that historic work, and so that will allow that project, which is ongoing, to continue on.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I heard that at the other committee meetings, and I forgot about that. Yeah, this is a separate section of the corridor than we talked about earlier. We do need to do a secret type one. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Stewart, second by Clinton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution number 291, authorizing the Department of Planning to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transport, U.S. DOT, for funding under the Safe Streets and Roads for All SS4A program to perform a comprehensive analysis of road safety for all users. Department of Planning. Do we have a planning? Go ahead.
This would authorize the resubmittal of an application for this grant. It would be to update the countywide network screening analysis of all crashes on the roadway, which was last done in 2019 and 2023. And it would bring that plan into compliance with the latest federal standards. The final plan would provide a prioritized list of road segments with data on crashes at those segments. And this would be developed at both a countywide scale and at a municipal scale.
Any questions? Motion. Clinton, second. McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, there's two late motions related to UCAT. I'm going to consider a motion to block these. There's a motion to block them. Motion made by Chair Criswell, seconded by McCullough. Discussion on the block. All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Okay, so we're now blocked. So can we have a discussion on what the resolutions are about from the executive? Thank you.
Both of these resolutions would allow us to program lapsing funds that are from DOT. And this would allow us to submit the application, which by the deadline, in order to make sure we retain that funding from DOT, from federal FHWA and FTA.
Chair Criswell.
Yeah, I've had discussions with the executive's office this year about really trying to reduce the number of late resolutions, which I think has happened. When I see one come through that has to do with critical funding, I approve it, and I did approve this one.
Okay, so to be clear, this is critical funding for, we need to get this done now, otherwise we can't get funding.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a motion? Clinton, second. McCullough, so on the block. So voting to approve the block is what I'm trying to say now. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, no new business? No old business? I'm sorry, Chair Criswell.
I just want to take a moment to publicly thank you for the work that you've done on the UND Corridor Committee. It's been grueling and public, and I just want to commend you and acknowledge the number of hours, the late night phone calls, the hundreds of emails you received, the personal threats you've received. And I just want that to be publicly stated that I really appreciate you taking on that task. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go, McCullough.
I just want to say that when it comes to housing, that whatever we do, we should always keep in mind traffic safety. Safety is important, especially if we're trying to bring more people into a situation that's already a little dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn. Clinton, is there a second? Stewart, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.